Teenage marriages and divorces have become one of America's greatest social problems. Sociologists report that one out of four girls begin dating before the age of 13. A depth study on the causes of premature dating and early marriage has been shocking in the extreme. The amazing results in just a moment. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, Facts Which Affect You. Well, we've been talking here during the last 2 days about the terrible moral conditions that have developed in the United States. How distressing it is to see this wonderful free country of ours that was founded by men of principle and prayer, to see it drop down into the very depths of immorality and degradation. We can't understand just how it all got started and how it developed, but it's here. The headlines of the newspapers proclaim it every single day. The divorce rate in America now is one out of every two marriages. So something surely has been taking place in our modern world. We discovered in our last broadcast that divorce has contributed greatly to the juvenile delinquency problem. These young gangs that roam the streets and pounce on innocent people are the product of the broken, unhappy homes of America. At least many of them are. Well, let's think a little deeper about children, parents, and families today. You know, the laws of human relations are exact and certain. The conditions in homes will lead almost inevitably to certain problems. We can just about predict it. It's a heartbreaking thing to see boys and girls of those tender, impressionable ages receiving permanent damage for all future time. There's no question but what many parents are following a course which will inevitably destroy their children. Now, I don't say they do this intentionally, but the results are just as disastrous as if they deliberately planned to destroy their children. The first duty of parents is to learn how to take care of their children. There's no other responsibility greater. Nothing supersedes it. We need to remind ourselves often that money, success, popularity, and every other object in life is less than nothing if we lose our own children. Christian parents should realize that God has given them the children to prepare for heaven. It's a divine, sacred stewardship from God. When should we start training and teaching the children, by the way? Here's where one of the greatest mistakes is made. We must not wait until they reach the age of reason. This is the way many parents feel. They say, well, we won't worry about them while they're just infants in the cradle. We'll wait till they can understand what we teach them. Oh, that's all a terrible mistake, friends. Those little babies are bundles of emotion. Those emotions and that will can be molded even while it's still in the cradle. Don't underestimate those years. Dr. E.T. Sullivan said this, "When God wants a great work done in the world or a great wrong righted, He goes about it in a very unusual way. He doesn't stir up His earthquakes or send forth His thunderbolts. Instead, He has a helpless baby born, perhaps in a simple home and of some obscure mother. And then God puts the idea into the mother's heart, and she puts it into the baby's mind, and then God waits. The greatest forces in the world are not the earthquakes and the thunderbolts. The greatest forces in the world are babies." End of quotation. And we all have to say that that's right. What that child becomes depends almost entirely on the parents. To a very large degree, the disposition of that child is settled by home influences. And how important that that child grow up in a calm and peaceful atmosphere. When emotions boil up around a baby, they have an effect. There's never an age when that baby will not absorb the tensions as well as the love that's present about it. Habits formed in those earliest years will shape the character of the life of that child for all future time. Happy are those parents who have laid a strong foundation. Then when the testing emergency years come later on, the young person will be held to the principles that he learned early in life. I heard of a 4-year-old who was running away from home. He told his mother he was, and she helped him pack one of the large suitcases to take with him. He was out on the sidewalk, walking up and down with this big suitcase, when one of the neighbors came by and said, "Where are you going, Charles?" He said, "Well, I'm running away from home." The neighbor said, "Well, you can't go very far on this side of the street." And he said, "Yes, but I'm not allowed to cross it." You see, that early training was coming through in obedience. Now let's move up to the teenage stage. Here's where more than all other ages, the young people need companionship of the parents. The teenager is filled with deep anxieties. Conflicts are raging there that he doesn't even understand himself. New urges are being felt, and he's trying to find his place under the sun. Now, this is the time when youth start choosing between conflicting standards. There's a struggle for independence, and it's very liable to flaunt adult rules if it can get by with it. And yet, these same teenagers desire the approval of their parents. Don't be fooled, parents, by the independent ways and seeming indifference of young people at this age. They still need you and want you. Oh, they may not express it very much, but they still feel the need of affection and approval. It's a dangerous age because this is where the foundation will be tested. If the home has been filled with love, if kindness and unselfishness have been placed into the foundation stones of that character, the young person will come through now with shining colors. The home ties will hold him fast if the foundation has been laid correctly. Now, right here, let me mention some problems that have been faced scores of times. Oh, consistency is so necessary in dealing with children. Parents should stick together, especially on matters of discipline. If there's a disagreement before the child on matters of right and wrong, it simply confuses the child. When parents contradict each other, the child takes advantage of it and begins to play both ends against the middle, and soon the child is having his way. A united front is needed in this matter. Now let's take a moment longer with the early teens. This age is a time when children should be free to grow and develop their personality. There's generally no problem unless parents create one or encourage one. Unfortunately, in our worldly society, a terrible thing has happened. Parents have actually pushed their children into a premature preoccupation with sex and marriage. Now, maybe some parents are not willing to admit this, friends, but the result has been seen and compiled by some of the leading sociologists of our time. Thousands of teenage marriages have been contracted and then have fallen apart. The greatest tragedy is that those youth were never really prepared for life at all. They lost out on a whole phase of their growth and development. They were pushed from childhood into adulthood almost without the important period of development in between. Why did those children turn so quickly from paper dolls and mud pies to thoughts of marriage? Through parental influence, even urging sometimes, mind you. Public school leaders are alarmed about it. Secular authorities are also very much concerned, and Christian parents should be even more so. It's creeping in among all levels of society. Satan is laying his snares for children. He knows that their emotions are very strong at this time, and so he begins to stir up thoughts about dating and pairing off, even at the tender ages of 12, 13, and 14. One of the greatest mistakes that parents could make is to encourage this premature interest in the opposite sex. Now, this is not being harsh, friends. It's simply abiding by the rules of our being. It's being wise enough to understand and accept the rules of nature. Too many have been hurt and swept away by trying to break the rules. I wonder if you're brave enough and wise enough to rein yourself up, parents. Are you willing to come to grips with this thing? You've got too much to lose if you fail here. You can't afford to let those precious children go astray. The odds are against us, but God is for us. And it doesn't matter what others are doing. Those children will come in and try to take advantage and say, well, everybody else is doing it. All my friends are doing this way and that way, and that's what I want to do. You see, the pressures of conformity are great. No doubt about it. And the forces of public opinion are going to wield a mighty influence on your children. But hold the line. Do what you know is right. Have the courage to take a stand and draw the line straight for your children. They really want you to do it. They'll be disappointed if you don't. You'll lose some of their respect if you give way before them. Let them have their own way when they don't even know what they want to do and don't know what's best for them. You have the experience. You know where the dangers lie. Be brave enough and courageous enough to tell them and let them know where the safe paths lie for their feet. This is a serious matter, friends. A great problem permeates every level of our society today. Children and young people are suffering the greatest damage and loss. It's a time for us to see just where we're going and in what direction we're moving. What's happening to our children? What's happening to our young people? We must save them. We must hold them somehow. And this is the plan. There's no higher responsibility in this world than to teach them and train them aright. And let me say this, in trying to prepare them for entrance into heaven, you've got plenty of competition and opposition. In fact, you can't possibly do it by yourself. The old prince of deceivers himself is working against you through all the flashing glitter and tinsel of a sin-oriented society. For young people to stand firmly for truth and purity in the face of the artificial glamour of this age, let me tell you, it will require a giant faith and trust in God. But it can be done. And you parents can succeed in holding them out of that broad popular road. But you'll have to set a safe example yourself for them to follow. You'll have to expose the subtle deceptions of this permissive society and the devious errors of downgrading God's holy law. Somehow, the youth must see that absolute dogmatic laws are not evil, but good. Just as the science of physics and mathematics hinge upon the arbitrary, unchanging laws of those sciences, so our safety and happiness depends upon recognizing the predictable moral laws of our being as well. Do you think for a moment that any physicist approaches the subject of the atomic weight of elements with an open mind? Even though he's a scientist, he accepts the definite, arbitrary, dogmatic fact that each element has an unvarying atomic weight. He works all of his problems around that absolute rule. It's the only way he can get correct solutions. And I tell you just as positively that our young people can find answers for their problems only when they accept the great laws of God as revealed in the Ten Commandments. Any parent makes a colossal mistake if he leaves his child to grope his way through the conflicting standards and moral confusion of this mixed-up age. Yet the marks of weakness are most apparent in the timid approach most modern parents are making to these problems. Little girls and boys are actually given the responsibility for making decisions far beyond their years. Mothers and fathers pride themselves on letting their children choose for themselves, as though it's being very honest and open in their dealing. Friends, this is the sort of thing that makes the devil happy. He immediately creates a barrage of emotional enticements which blind the immature youth. Their wills are not developed and their consciences have not been educated or enlightened except in the affairs of this world. Sometimes I wonder if this country would not eventually become as godless as communist Russia if present trends keep on as they are and if Christ didn't return to put an end to it. More and more, the college-age young people are showing a lack of spiritual direction in the home plus a secular saturation of the evolutionary principles that they got out of that college classroom. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.